Oh, it's good to get together and worship the Lord. As David the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be here. Are you? All right, amen. I'm glad to be here that we can worship God together and celebrate the name of Jesus. As Sean mentioned earlier, if you're a guest here today, we're glad that you're here with us. We want you to know how delighted we are to have you here today. And there's a lot of exciting things going on right now at Clay House. And so there's a lot that's happening. I just would encourage you, if whatever God would be putting on your heart, to take a next step. We have a lot of small groups and things that are meeting during the week, and we certainly have space available if you're interested in being a part of a group. But we're so glad that you're here and that God has brought you here. You know, I believe that God has brought nobody here today by accident, that we're all here because God has purposed that we come together and worship the name of Jesus. So praise God. Well, today is a special service. We're actually going to be taking a break this morning from our series called Lord Teach Us to Pray. We'll resume once again next Sunday. This morning, we're going to share a little bit of an update on what God has been doing. We just sang about reaching our world. We're going to share about some of the things that God has been stirring our hearts as leadership. And we recently had a few of us that went to France, and we're excited to share some of the updates of our trip just several weeks ago. And so in just a little bit later in the service, I'm going to invite a couple guys that went on this trip. We're going to have a little panel talk here. But I want to kind of preface that panel discussion by just sharing basically what is missions, why has God called us to be a church that is engaged in reaching our world. Many of you were aware this past week, Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. I know he touched so many lives, millions of people. I can remember as a kid, you know, watching on the television, seeing George Beverly Shea singing, and then they'd have just multitudes and scores of people coming to the altar. In fact, last night I got on YouTube and just started watching some of those crusades that they had from the 60s and 70s and 80s. I mean, he did this well into his 80s. Where he preached and just shared the gospel with millions of people. And, you know, he's with the Lord now, and he's going on to his eternal reward. But like Billy Graham, all of us are sent. And, you know, we may not be preaching to millions of people or having tens of thousands of people in a stadium, but you and I have an opportunity every day. And the people that are around us in our neighborhoods and our workplace and our schools, wherever we're at, that we can be a witness and a light, and we can reach one person at a time for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, we cannot save anybody. It's got to be the Holy Spirit who does the work in drawing people to Jesus so that they would come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Our job is to be faithful and obedient witnesses. You know, witnessing is not something we do. Being a witness is something that we are. So if you're a Christian, we're called to go public. We're called to go reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share a little bit, as I mentioned, a little bit of an understanding of why do we do missions? Why do we get engaged in serving God by telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news? Why do we go to the ends of the earth to tell people about Jesus? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we're commanded to go. In fact, Jesus says, as he's giving this great commission, as we know in Matthew chapter 28, he tells his disciples, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, Clay House, we need to have the heart of God when it comes to seeing people. You know, we will never reach people that we don't love. God has to touch our hearts and touch our minds to really infuse His power and His life in us, that we would have a love for people. You know, sometimes we get so busy with the activities of our day, and we just kind of go through life, and it's on to the next thing, and we miss the people that are around us. If we would pray that God would stir our hearts to have a love for people, God would speak to us, that we would be a witness, and God would show us how we can be a light to them. You know, we are called to be missionaries, or we are sent on mission to reach people, and because we need to know the heart of God, because God is a missionary Himself. You know, when I use this term mission, this term literally means sending. And it's really the central biblical theme describing the purpose of God's action in human history. The church is not the purpose or the goal of the gospel, but rather its instrument and its witness. So God has purposed the church universal and us specifically here, to be a witness, to be sent out in mission in our local community and to the ends of the earth. Why? Because God is a missionary. Because God is the one who sends, and we ultimately know that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. In fact, in John 13, 17, the verse after, often the most quoted verse in the Bible, John 3, 16, it says this, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him," or through Jesus. So the character of God is missional. He's the one who sends. He's the one that sends us to be able to be witnesses and to be ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the scope of this mission is the entire world. You know, I'm thankful that we're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance here at Clay House. And this, in essence, is a family within the entire family of the of faith, you could call the church. But we as at Clay House are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And the Christian Missionary Alliance is really could be described as a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. What that means is basically that we are empowered by the living Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to take seriously this great commission of Jesus to be witnesses, not only it locally here, but to the ends of the earth. And so we preach, we teach, we disciple, we do everything we can to tell other people that there is life beyond the grave, that there is hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? That there is hope in that name, and that our sins can be forgiven, and that we want to be a Christ-centered church, and we are a Christ-centered denomination, celebrating Jesus as our Savior, as our sanctifier, as our healer, and as our coming King. It's interesting, in Acts 1:8, the verses listed there on the screen, Jesus promises that we would be empowered with the Holy Spirit, that we would receive the power for witnesses. You know, we in our natural selves sometimes get a little intimidated when you think about telling other people about Jesus. But, you know, Scripture says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And when the Holy Spirit empowers us, interestingly enough, you see the disciples, when Jesus was being crucified, they were cowering in the shadows. But when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, here you see Peter preaching to thousands of people, and they're being converted to Christ. Why? Because it was the Spirit of Christ that empowered him. And the same Spirit that empowered Jesus, that empowered the disciples, is the same Holy Spirit who empowers us. So we do not have to fear, dear friends. Though the world may reject, though the world may come against us, though there may be great persecution, we still can go and boldly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, if necessary, use words. We do it with our lives, and we do it with our lips, that we honor the great name of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about being an Acts 1:8 Christ-centered family, we're talking, he mentions here specifically in the verse, that we that the disciples would be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In other words, to kind of relate it today, it means that we're to be engaged in local missions. We're to be engaged in things and activities and things around here, thinking of Jerusalem. We're to be engaged in regional or national type of ministries, thinking of Judea and Samaria. And also we're to go to the ends of the earth, as Jesus has called us to do. Here at Clay House, we must be about telling other people about Jesus, to love Jesus and to make his love known. That's our mission and our vision. That's what really drives us here, that we would love Jesus ourselves and that we would tell others and make his love known to the people around us. And so this includes Colorado Springs, it includes our country, and includes our world. And so our job here at Clay House is to discern and to obey God's leading on how and where we are to go and what we should do. And we are to obey the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I do want to invite you to take them out real quickly. We're not going to camp out in this passage too long, but turn to Acts chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can just listen in. But Acts chapter 16 is the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and the disciples were being engaged, and those that were filled to be witnesses in their immediate context, but also to go out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In essence, that really is kind of an outline of the entire book of Acts, of what transpired in the gospel story. But they're trying to discern, God, where are you guiding us? Where are you leading us? And look in verses 6 through 8 here in chapter 16. It says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. I'm probably butchering these words here. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, why do I highlight this particular passage? Well, it's important, even though they had a general sense of purpose of calling to reach the ends of the earth, Jesus said, go to the ends of the earth, they receive a specific direction by the Holy Spirit to focus not on going towards Asia, but God sovereignly said, I want you to go westward. I want you to go that direction and go into Macedonia. And so they received this call by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul and Timothy had to obey the Holy Spirit every step along the way. And so it's interesting, as we see the leading of the Spirit of Christ in their own life, though they received a general call to be witnesses, God had specifically directed them in this direction, not towards Asia, but towards Macedonia, which is what we think of as Greece. Likewise, we too, here at Clay House, though we have a general sense of calling that God has called us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, and we should be, and we will be, but where, God, are you leading us? Holy Spirit, how are you directing us to take the next steps forward in your plan for us? And so over this past year, since I've arrived a little over a year now, we've been trying to discern, God, how are you guiding us at Clay House? How are we to be engaged in local missions? And I have a lot to share on that coming up here in the weeks and months ahead, but where God has been stirring my heart as to how we can reach the community of Colorado Springs. One of the things we want to do, a big thing this year, is a vacation Bible school this summer. We want to reach kids with the gospel. So if you're interested, there's a little plug. If you're interested in helping, we can use help, let me know. But there's plenty of ways in which we're going to be engaged in our community here at Clay House here at Colorado Springs. But as we're commanded to share the gospel not only locally, we've been sensing God's direction. God, where would you have us go internationally? I mean, we can't go to the ends of the earth. Certainly we can support missionaries who do. But where are you guiding and directing us? Now, I want to make very clear, we as part of the Christian Missionary Alliance family, we're going to support our family first. That's not necessarily going to say we're going to be exclusive in our giving and supporting of missionaries, but I like this concept of supporting our family first and being able to support our missionaries, particularly even those that have been sent out among us, but all within the Christian Missionary Alliance family. And frankly, my prayer is that God would be raising up some of you to go to the mission field, and whatever, wherever that might be. And I know God is raising all of us. We talk about the mission field, it's everywhere. But God may be directing some of us, maybe in the weeks and months and years ahead, to go to a particular portion of the world that has not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's got to be something the Holy Spirit does in each of us. It's not something I can just command or tell you to do. It's something that God, you've got to sense God's direction in your life. You know, many of you know Jason and Erica Linscomb. They have been part of Clay House for a number of years. It's their picture up there. And they were recently sent out about a year and a half ago from Clay House to France. And so as we as leaders started thinking and praying about, God, where is it you're directing us? We naturally thought, well, that's a first step for us to consider. We have a family in our own church that is going to France and is gone already. And they've gone through the language school. They've done all this thing. We want to do what we can to come alongside them and support them. So we naturally started thinking in terms of France. And we've given you updates over the last several months regarding some of the things that God has been stirring our hearts. So this should not be a surprise to many of us. But we, as leaders, after praying about it and seeking the Lord and talking with field directors, we believe God is leading us to partner specifically with France. Now, we still want to be engaged in local missions, regional missions, and international missions. This is not to exclude that. But this is, once again, is sensing the Spirit of God's direction to focus particularly on France. Now, you might ask, well, why France? Well, several things. First of all, we have personal connections with the Linscombs today. And I know there are some even in our church here today that have had past connections with France. And so we thought this is a natural thing. I know there's a number of you that do actually speak French. I'm actually trying to learn it a little bit myself. I have a long ways to go. I can barely get we. That's about all I can do. But I can, I'm coming. I bought this thing from Barnes & Noble. It was like $50. I'm plugging along and I'm like, man, I'm butchering this. And it's going to take a while. Keep praying for me in that way. But we have a lot of connections, not only present connections, but also past connections with France. And so that's the first thing that really, a reason why. The second thing is that the spiritual needs there are huge. The spiritual needs there are huge. 0.5% are considered evangelical Christians, and it's a deeply secular, postmodern, post-Christian, atheistic nation. I think there's a map up here. Yes, you'll see the map there. There's colors, the cool colors, the blue and everything, shows that is a very small percentage of people there that are Christians. The darker or the red colors are a little warmer colors. Those reveal that there is a little bit more of a presence of evangelical Christianity. But compared to America, it's relatively small. Like I said, it's 0.5%. The people that consider themselves evangelical Christians. And so the opportunity there is huge, but also so are the challenges, because this in many ways is a post-Christian nation, and so we need to be discerning and creative and let the Holy Spirit guide the process. And again, when we talk about partnership, it's not as if we at Clay House are coming to set our agenda and superimpose it upon the country. We're trying to discern, God, where are you working there already? So that we can discern how we can step in alignment with that. That makes sense? So again, we're trying to partner with them, trying to ask God, where is it you're already working? How can we partner with that specifically? So the spiritual needs there are huge. But I will say this, the opportunities, number three, are significant there. There are some significant opportunity. You know, I went to France just several weeks ago. The spiritual hunger of people there is really significant. Now, it's not to say that they're hungry for Christianity, but you see a lot of mediums and you see a lot of other kind of spiritual things. There's a lot of darkness going on, but it shows that there's a certain hunger. People are asking kind of existential questions like, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And so as a result, they're seeking and grabbing after many different things, but there's a hunger. And with that hunger comes an opportunity for outreach, for discipleship, and for witness. And, you know, sometimes the light can be most or best seen in the darkest of places. And so those three reasons, first of all, because we have the connections there, both past and present, because the spiritual needs there are huge. And finally, the opportunities there are significant. And so we as leaders have been praying and saying, God, how are you directing us? How are you guiding us? And we put together, and we've actually had for some time, a missions team that we gather together on a monthly basis. And we talk and we pray through these things. We've had Skype sessions with the Linscombs and the field directors there. We've had some interaction over the last number of months. And we've all sensed that direction towards France to be able to partner in that way. And as I shared just briefly that several weeks ago, there were three of us that actually had the opportunity to do what we would call a vision trip. In other words, we traveled to a number of different locations, primarily three, Paris, Toulouse, and Bordeaux. And we had an opportunity to see what God is doing among our Alliance family there in France. And so at this time, I want to invite John Corby, who is our missions director here at Clay House, as well as Matt Wolford. If you guys want to grab these three chairs to the side, and we'll set up these three right in the middle here. And what we're going to do is just kind of share a little bit about what took place, where we sense God specifically leading, and then how we at Clay House are to move forward as a family. So I'm thankful for these guys. Let's give them a hand for bringing the chairs up here. if you want to grab down there. All right. Well, I do want to ask several questions. First of all, this is John Corby, and this is Matt Wolford, and we're excited. We had a great trip together. It was a lot of fun to connect with a lot of the people there. John, I want to just begin with you and have you share a little bit about the history of the Alliance there, particularly in France.
Back in the 50s and 60s, the Alliance had a number of French people who came to the United States to go to school, missions training. And they were sent to Africa because they had French. They were sent to French Indochina, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. So there were a number of French people who had some training here in the States and were considered part of the Alliance family and were sent by the American Alliance Church. Then in 1968, Danielle and Pemi Bourdais, a French couple, were sent specifically by the Alliance here in America back to France, primarily to recruit more French-speaking French men, French women, to go to Africa to teach in mission schools in Africa. But because of Danielle and Pemi's experience in Vietnam, they were also very interested in church planting and outreach. The fascinating thing is it kind of coincided 68, the late 60s, early 70s, with the fall of republics in Indochina, French republics, to communism and Marxism. There was a massive immigration of Vietnamese, Cambodians, Lao people to France. And that was around the same time that the Bourdais got there. And they were reaching out to those different groups that were coming into France. In fact, the Alliance was so concerned that there were so many Alliance believers from Alliance churches in French Indochina that were moving to France. Some missionaries who had to leave Vietnam, who had to leave Cambodia, had to leave Laos, they were sent to France to help these fledgling congregations actually begin. In 1977, Danielle organized the French Alliance Church. Four churches, two French churches, one Chinese, and one Vietnamese. That was the foundation of the French Alliance Church that became totally independent, a French national church, if you will. That church has grown today to 27 different churches, with over half of the members of these of the French Alliance churches who come from Asian backgrounds, but are fully French. These are third and fourth generation Vietnamese, Chinese, Cambodian, who live in France, have been educated in France, who are French people. I think one of the things that really struck Matt and Tim was the incredible diversity that is France today. It's not just French people from the roots, the white Caucasian French people, but there's a massive mix of cultures in France. So today there are 29 different churches that form the Christian Alliance Church of France, the totally independent and yet part of the Alliance worldwide family.
So Matt, I want to ask you a question. Being that this is your first time to really see what's going on in the Alliance family there in France, what was your impression both of France and also the people there and kind of what God is doing? So can you share a little bit about your experience there last when we went here a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, so like John said, it was kind of eye-opening to see just the vast demographic diversity and to see that in a few different geographic places throughout France. If you look at the map behind us here, there's some red stars in a few areas there. The top one is in Limoges. The one just to the left and below that's in Bordeaux. And then the one below that is in Toulouse. So we started our trip in Paris, where the blue diamond is kind of toward the top middle. And we were only there for about a half a day initially and kind of quickly hopped a train down to the very south central location in Toulouse. And then we went over to Bordeaux and then back over to Paris. But in that, I'll start in Paris real quick. It felt a lot like most major metropolitan areas where you have just huge swaths of society from all over the world. Like John mentioned, there was a huge presence from South Central Asia. in Southeastern Asia, and also a big refugee and migrant population from North Africa. I was just struck as we were coming in from the airport, we took a train into the heart of Paris, and every single stop that we got on, it was just an interesting little cross-section because every stop had its own flavor. You know, you're going through these different neighborhoods. You can see going from industrial to more suburban to more urban. And every single stop, you have a different cross-section of population getting on, crowding in, and kind of providing a little literal United Nations right there on the train. Of languages that were being spoken, styles of dress, and even just different soul states. Like as you're looking into people's eyes, you know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And there was not much activity going on behind most people's eyes. That just kind of struck me. And I think that correlates with what Pastor Tim was saying about the half of 1% of people that really have professed a hope that there's something beyond just this life that they're living. And you could sense that hopelessness a lot in all the places we went, not just Paris, but in Toulouse a little bit, the limited time that we were there, and then also in Bordeaux. So I think I was struck by that. I think the Lord just kind of throughout the trip, and then even as I've been reflecting on it afterward, has been just putting... if I can pull it up here, putting Matthew, Tim quoted it in his prayer at the very beginning here, Matthew 9 toward the end, in verse 36 through 38, when he says, when he saw the crowds, speaking of Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I think I really saw that in France as we were going from place to place. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And so I think that's what this Sunday is all about, is just kind of taking our impressions of that group of people that really looked like harassed sheep, you know, looked like they were lost and directionless. And you get that here in America, too. I mean, don't get me wrong, like you can go to Walmart, you can go to, you know, the shopping quarter along Powers, and you can look around, and it's not like everybody that you see in there is filled with light. You know, there's a lot of darkness here, like Tim's saying, you know, locally, there's a big mission field too, but the need is very real in France as well. And so that was just really impressed upon me as we went around.
Thank you, Matt. John, is there anything you want to just share with us about what is a partnership? I know you've shared a little bit about this before, but as we seek to engage this partnership moving forward with France, what are the specific ingredients of a partnership?
Great question. Let me just say how much fun it was to travel with these two guys. When you're in a subway and you're a massive amount of people all around you, or on a train in a train station, it was easy to pick out the 6'6" blonde guy. As long as I had Tim somewhere within proximity, we stayed pretty much together. Partnerships. At the foundation, they are relational. There has to be a connection. There has to be a personal relational connection. That can be natural, as it is, as Tim's talked about, in terms of the Linscombs from our church. It's a natural connection, and yet the Lord seems to be moving us in that direction. It can involve projects, it can involve all kinds of different things, but there has to be a personal connection. I like to think of partnerships as being a great big funnel. At the open end, there's all kinds of stuff, but when you flip that funnel up, there's that little spout at the bottom end of it. Let's consider the Linscombs to be our partners, that small end of the spout. And we see the Linscombs and say, those are our partners. But as we pull the Linscombs closer to our eyes, we look through our partnership with the Linscombs and we see the much bigger field of France and all the kinds of things that are going on there.
God was stirring our hearts to get engaged in the things that were going there. You see their pictures there. The Althauses are there on the right and the Nelsons are there on the left. and they've been sent out, and they're working as a team. We had a chance on the Saturday night we were there to go to one of the families, one of the families that attends that church. They welcomed us in, and we had a meal. If any of you have been to France, you know the meals can take a long time. It was a great time. We spent the whole evening. In fact, John said we left early, and it was 11 o'clock. So we had a great meal together, hospitality, you know, lots of bread and food, and the food there is delicious. And we just got a chance to hear their story, and we were hearing some of the challenges that they were dealing with, particularly where do they meet for a location. They currently meet in a hotel conference room that they're quickly outgrowing. There's a separation between church and state there, so that the churches are unable to meet in the schools, so they have to be very creative in where they meet. So we were looking around at various sites about potential places that they could buy at some point. So there's a lot more to be said there, but that is the second area that we focused on. My heart has always been for church planting. The last 10 years I planted a church in Minnesota, and God has been stirring my heart in that way. And we thought, well, certainly there are need for churches here in Colorado Springs, but we think about the availability for churches here, the accessibility, I should say. You know, people can find a lot of gospel preaching churches here in Colorado Springs, but when it comes to places like Bordeaux, you remember that map that we show with all the blue and red colors? Bordeaux was kind of the heart of blue country, and there's very few people that are evangelical Christians there. So let's get into those places and those spaces of people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to do what we can to partner with them specifically. Again, there's a lot more to be said as we move forward about what kind of things will happen, but I'm excited about this, and there's some real opportunities. Todd, there on the right, has an incredible vision for the city of Bordeaux, not only in that city that they're planted in, but he's considering getting into the heart of the city itself. So a lot more to be said there. So that's the second thing that we feel God's direction with. The third area that we feel God directing us with regard to the partnership is what we will call a soul care. We had an opportunity to see in Paris leadership development that was taking place. One of the common things that we saw as we traveled around to different sites there in France, a thing that kept emerging as we discussed with leaders is, boy, we need a new generation of leaders here in this country. We need people that will step up. We have some missionaries ourselves that are either going to be retiring or leaving the field. There's a lot of transition there. So there's a need to raise up the native population there and get young leaders emerging in the leadership roles there within the French field. And so the Bowers, Brett and Celine Bauer, I think their picture, actually the picture's not, but they've been doing these sessions called Soul Care. And what it really is leadership development among the people there within the congregations to raise up a new generation of leaders to reach this country and this nation. So as we were thinking, as between John, Matt, myself, as well as the elders and leaders here, how can we affect France for the long term? So certainly helping the Linscom is a priority, and also church planting, and specifically with this church, as we think in Marignac, as we think immediately. And then also as we raise up and do what we can to partner with the Bowers to see many people. I think there's 40 or 50 people there that are just working already in some of their churches. You can see there's a lot of cross-section of a demographic there. You have Southeast Asia represented. You have North Africa and other places. This is not to say when we talk about these three areas that their other areas are unworthy of our support either. We want to do what we can to encourage the entire field. But those were specifically the three areas that we feel God directing us specifically as we move forward as a congregation. So that's a general sense of where we're going and what's going to be happening. As we go forward, potentially for years to come, I believe the Lord will give us some specifics as we build the relationships with people. We have a lot of wonderful things that are going on there with Envision. We have a lot of things that are wonderful things going on with what is known as the Tea Project or refugee things that are happening. So there's certainly discussions to be had as we move forward. But these are the three areas we feel right now that as we move forward that God is directing us to. I want to show right now a quick video from the Linscombs. As we're hoping to live stream here, but it just didn't work out because of some of the technology. But they did want to show us a quick video, so if we can cue that and see what God is doing.
Hi, Clay House.
Hi, Clay House.
It's Jason and Erica again, and we are outside today because it is sunshining and we have not seen the sun in many, many weeks. It feels great. So we're actually outside in Versailles today. Some of the gardens behind us. And
we're doing some sightseeing with some friends that are visiting from Texas. So it's a fun weekend. The girls are on vacation these couple of weeks. So it's sun's coming out. The flowers are starting to bloom. So we're excited for spring.
We're excited to join you today for the Mission Sunday. And it was just a privilege to have the team from Playhouse here recently. And we just want to thank you for all of your prayer and support. It means a lot. Love you guys. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
It was a great opportunity for me to meet them. I had met them on Skype and so forth, but just to meet them in person, we had a great time connecting with them, and I know many of you know them personally, so we certainly want to support them. I just want to quickly, as we finish out the service this morning, kind of ask the question, now what? What do we do now? How can each of us engage in what God is stirring our hearts? As the three of us had a chance to come back here, we met with the missions team. They were all in approval of what's going on. We presented this to the elders. They were fully supportive of what's going on. We had a chance to connect with the field director there and some of the other ministry leaders in each of those areas. So we have had a chance to connect with them, and they are also in 100% agreement behind this partnership and what it's going to look like. So we're excited that God has brought unity around this vision and direction. So how can you and I engage? Well, first of all, when John talked about strategic prayer, many of you received those magnets. Pray. And pray for France. Pray for the nations of the world. There are many missionaries serving elsewhere. But again, pray for our missionaries in France and other places. But this is a specific thing that we need to be doing, to be praying and covering them and bathing them in prayer. The second thing is we talked about partner care. Again, we're going to come alongside our missionaries, the Linscombs and others, to be able to support them. So we're hoping to get maybe the men's ministries, women's ministries, children's ministries engaged specifically in some specific projects as we move forward with this. Staying aware of the communication points. John mentioned earlier about e-news. If you haven't been getting those e-news and would like to sign up, you can sign up at the Connection Center after the service today. But again, we're going to communicate many things and needs as they arise. Finally, doing our share financially. John mentioned the Great Commission Fund. We're going to talk more about what that is in the weeks and months ahead. And there are many of you that are giving to the Great Commission Fund to be able to support Worldwide Alliance Ministries. But there are many of us, either we're uneducated, we don't know what it is, or second of all, that's not been something God has been, we've sensed, or at least we're not engaged in it yet. Maybe God has been stirring our hearts, but we're just trying to figure out what are our next steps. So I think there's a certain percentage of people here that this would be an area for some of us to step up and say, God, how can I get in the game here? How can I get engaged in supporting our missionaries around the world and even in France here too? The other thing, just as I mentioned, we're going to talk about going there. Again, John filled in a little bit about we're going to just discern how God directs in that way. But there's going to be plenty of ways to get engaged in the ministries here. But my prayer, as we think about Clay House, is that we would be a church that is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would be a church that has burning in our souls, as we sang, and we're going to sing in closing here this morning. Just as we worship to glorify and honor the name of Jesus and glorify God, our prayer is that God would stir our hearts so that we would be faithful witnesses in our workplaces, as I mentioned earlier, in our schools, wherever we're at, that we would be a light to a dark world. So at this time, I do want to invite the worship team to come forward once again. And we're going to sing in conclusion the song that we sang earlier and were introduced to for the sake of the world. But again, let's make this our prayer together this morning as we worship God, that we would go and be witnesses and do our part for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So why don't you stand your feet? Let's sing together this song as we worship the name of Jesus.